Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Hello, hello, hello. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly we give honor and thanks for the Lord to be here on the broadcast today. Happy Memorial Day to everybody. Thank you for all our servicemen that have served in this country and been on the wall as a protector for us. We thank God for each and every one of them, especially those that have gone on to be with the Lord. We ask the Lord to bless them and bless their families because their sacrifice was great. And we thank God for each of them and their families that have had to move on without them. And so we thank God for them and them sharing their family members with us and as they were protectors for this country. And we also, even our own loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord, we just ask God to continue to comfort all of those who have lost loved ones, those that, loved ones have been gone for some time, and those that have just recently lost people and lost loved ones, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. We ask God just to comfort people as only he can because there's been so much loss of life and more than what we've seen probably in our lifetime. But anyway, God is still good and he is still faithful, and we're so thankful to be a part of him, that he is our Father, he is our Abba Father, and we thank that we can go to him in prayer. And so we're so grateful for that, and so just so blessed of the Lord for all that he is doing and how he is keeping us and how he is protecting us and how no plague has come nigh our dwelling. We got to be thankful for that. We got to be excited about that. So anyway, since we're just so grateful to the Lord for all that he's done. And so we're going to start this off with prayer, and then we're going to go on from there. And we're still talking about commitment. That's what we're still talking about. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for a new mercy that we see. Lord, we don't deserve it, but, Lord, we so thank you. We thank you for the grace. It's our unmerited favor, but, Lord, you bless us with that favor, God, and we thank you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, we thank you that you are our shepherd and we shall not want. We thank you that you are our, praise the Lord, Elder Phyllis, we thank you, God, that you are our God. You are omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. We thank you that you're the sovereign God. You're our creator, oh God. And, Lord, nothing is too hard for thee, oh God. With men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So, Lord, we give, Lord Jesus, that we have you to pray to, and we have you to depend on. We have you to trust in. We have you to have our faith in, oh God. So, Lord, we can't depend on man, but we can depend on you, and we're so thankful and so grateful for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our refuge and our strength, oh God. You are the Most High is our dwelling place. You are my refuge, God. I'm so thankful. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to meet every need. Those people have great need right now. Some people are without jobs. Some people are being threatened to be evicted, and all kinds of things are going on, God. But, Lord, so many people are dealing with loved ones that are in the hospital that they can't even go and visit, God. So much is going on. So many things is going on. The state is asking that 20 to 15, that they cut expenses by 15%. So much is going on, God. But, Lord, we know that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. You are our Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. You are the God that sustains us, God. And so we're so thankful for that, that we have you to trust and depend on. We don't have to depend on ourselves, but we have a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can even ask or think. So, Lord, we're so thankful for that. We're thankful, God, hallelujah, for that you are forgiving, God. You've forgiven our sins, sins of omission and sins of commission, God. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah. Oh, God, I glorify your name today. Lord, somebody needs encouragement. Encourage their heart today, oh, God. Lord, somebody needs just that they're feeling isolated and lonely, God. We ask you, Lord, to let them know that your presence is felt and your presence is there with them, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And, Lord, that when the enemy come in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against it. We're so thankful for that, oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that you are not shy. Lord, bless them hearts and minds of the people. Heal them in their mind. Heal them in their heart. Heal them in their emotions, oh, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, we rebuke these senseless killings, oh, God. People still going around doing foolishness, oh, God, with all that's going on, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, we rebuke this angry spirit, oh, God, that's causing people to want to take others' lives and all of those kind of things, God. Lord, we rebuke the hallelujah. Ta-ta. Lord, we come against alcohol addiction and drug addiction, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, we come against spousal abuse, oh, God. We come against child abuse, God. We come against child molestation, and we come against parent abuse and grandparent abuse. God, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, speak peace in the homes, oh, God. Let there be peace, oh, God, where there's confusion. Let there be peace where there's anger. Let there be peace, oh, God, where there's violence in the name of Jesus, oh, God. Lord, we know you're able to do it, oh, God, because we know that you are God, hallelujah, and you can intervene in any situation, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, to bless all our health care workers, all our essential workers in the hospitals, oh, God, those that are even cleaning the hospitals, Lord, and those that are the doctors and the nurses and all the attendants, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless every cook and everyone that's cooking the food and keeping things going, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask you to bless those cafeteria, those that work in the school cafeterias that are making sure kids have food, oh, God. Lord, we thank you for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for every delivery person, oh, God, that is taking their lives in their hands and going and delivering food. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for every restaurant, Lord Jesus, that has been able to stay open, oh, God, and be able to attend to those that are coming to get food, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless them abundantly, God, hallelujah. And those that are closing their doors down, bless those entrepreneurs and bless those owners, oh, God, that they will not lack in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, bless every church that there will be no lack in the ministry, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless every pastor, every teacher, every prophet, every apostle, every evangelist, oh, God, every deacon, every minister, every elder, every lay person in the ministry, in the church, oh, God. Lord, the body of Christ in total, oh, God. We ask you, Lord, to bless and meet every need, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom you are giving our pastors at this time, God, in the name of Jesus, that they're thinking more about the people than they're thinking about the other things, oh, God. Lord, we ask you to save the leadership of this country. Lord, they need you, oh God. They need salvation. So, Lord, we plan salvation for them. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless all of those in the White House, those in the Senate, those in the House of Representatives, oh God. Give them wisdom like no other, oh God. We rebuke this mean-spirited thing that's trying to take over, oh God. And people are acting out as we see their real person come through. But, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, to deliver and save, God. Lord, we are asking you, Lord, to meet the needs of your people, God. Lord, there's so many that are going without. They don't have food to eat. They don't have money to buy it, oh, God, because the groceries done went up. But, Lord, we know that you're able to provide because you are our Jehovah Jireh. Oh, God, ha-na-na-na-mo-shaya. Oh, we glorify you, Lord, ha-na-na-na-na-mo-shaya. Oh, God, so many people have lost loved ones, oh, God. Lord, send your healing, Lord. Send your peace and comfort to them, God, in the name of Jesus. Heal their hearts, oh, God, hallelujah, because their hearts are heavy, oh, God. But, Lord, we know that you're there in the midst, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless the Clay family, oh, God, as he buried Wesley Blair and his mother on yesterday. Continue to bless Yvette Raglan and her family, oh, God. Comfort them as only you can. Bless the Cantrell Hampton family, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we glorify you and we magnify your holy name, God. Oh, Lord, you're so worthy, and I'm so glad that I'm your child. Oh, I glorify you. Thank you for your protection. I get in the bush. Oh, God, I get in the bush. Oh, we glorify you. Lord, we speak grace and mercy upon the lives of everybody. Bless our police officers all over this world, oh God, all over this land and country. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to give them wisdom, oh God. Bless them to discern the enemy all around about them. Bless our soldiers all over this world, oh God. Lord, don't let them be ambushed and don't let them be sabotaged, but give them a spirit of discernment that they will be able to discern the enemy all around about them. Lord, we ask you to bless our firemen, oh God. Oh, cover them with your blood, God. Cover our soldiers with your blood. Cover the police officers with your blood. Lord, we rebuke every attack, Lord, whether it be over the internet or by phone. Lord, these cyber crimes, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Don't let nobody be taken by surprise, oh God. Don't let nobody's information be stolen, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we glorify and we magnify your name, God. Oh, God, Lord, don't let it be no more job loss, oh, God. Lord, bless everybody that's had to apply for unemployment to get the money that they have applied for, oh, God. Lord, loose it in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. As these businesses begin to open back up, give them wisdom, oh, God. Lord, so the people will be protected. They will be protected. Don't let us walk foolishly, Lord, but give us wisdom, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless those that have been continuing to have to go to work. They couldn't work from home. But, Lord, we ask you to bless and cover them with your blood. Bless my family, my sister, my brother, oh, God, my cousins, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, my aunt and my other cousins, God, in the name of Jesus. Cover them with your blood, God. I glorify you. I magnify your name, Lord. Bless everybody under the sound of my voice, God. Oh, God, we ask you, Lord, to touch and cover them with your blood. Lord, protect them, God. Oh, God, we ain't not moving in the spirit of fear because you've given us the power. We're not going to have a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We got forgiving hearts, oh, God. Somebody walking in unforgiveness, Lord, let them forgive today, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, let us recommit ourselves to thee, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, that we will be found doing your will, oh, God, and not our will. Oh, Lord, we bless your holy name. Let our lamps be trimmed and burning bright, God. Hallelujah, that if you come back, we won't be left out. And you won't say you never knew us. Get our hearts right, God. Let us be prepared, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I bless your name and I praise your name. Give us financial wisdom during this time. Let us make good financial decisions, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, of the Most High. Yay! Oh, I glorify you, Jesus. Oh, God, we ask you to bless the people to draw nigh unto thee, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, don't let them come out of this situation the same, but let them come out of it more spiritually in tune with thee, oh, God. Let them come out of it, Lord, where they're blessed, oh, God. Glory, 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 glory. You are the mighty God. Hallelujah. You are healer, oh God. Lord, we send healing to the rooms of the hospitals, oh God. Some people at home, some people in hospice. Lord, we send your word that says, with your stripes, by your stripes, we are healed, oh God. Lord, let your healing virtue begin to flow like never before, oh God. Lord, let them touch you in the spirit, oh God, in the spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. Let them be made whole this very hour, God. Oh, we glorify you, Jesus. We magnify Jackie Frank. Touch her body, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Restoration to her body, God, in the name of Jesus. Full recovery, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, thank you, Lord Jesus. We glorify. Hey, glory. Oh, glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless this word that it will fall on good ground, God. Those that need it will hear it, oh, God. Let somebody be saved because of your word, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the souls that were saved today, that gave their life to thee today. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we glorify you. Lord, we bless you. Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. Lord, I thank you and I praise your holy name. Glorify, praise the Lord, everybody that is joining us on the line. Thank you so much for being a part. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, glory. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, God. So many people have gone home, Lord, but you've kept us, God, and we thank you. Lord, let us be used for your glory, Lord, in your kingdom, God, in the name of Jesus. Give us fresh oil, oh God. Thank you for your angels encamping around about us, God. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. Glory to God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Praise you. Bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we talking about commitment. We still talking about what God, us being committed to God. Praise the Lord for each and all of y'all joining in today. Thank you. Yeah, all those that are on the line, we so thankful. Oh, God, bless her, Cynthia and her family. Lord, they lost their mother, too. Lord, comfort them, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for her life, God. Bless Carrie's mother, God. Continue to bless her and touch her body, touch her mind, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we glorify you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for us being in our right mind. Thank you for keeping our minds, God. God, I thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise your name, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, we've been talking about commitment for some time. And so I was studying this week about it, and the Lord, I've been in the book of Ezra, so I've been the first. I talked about the first six chapters last week when we talked about Zerubbabel and him going back, and we kind of talked about it. They were going back to rebuild the temple, and we talked about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit and how that we are supposed to rededicate. They were rededicating the temple, the altar, and they were doing all that, and so how our bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we should review our commitment with God and renew our commitment with God and rededicate our commitment with God. Those are some of the things that we need to do. And so we talked about that on last week. And so this week I want to talk about, we're talking about commitment, and then our thank, praise the Lord, Paul. God bless you. And so Lord, that prayer took me someplace else. But anyway, we're going to talk about our commitment, and we're going to talk about Ezra for a little bit. And so I want to talk about him because one of the things about Ezra, and I want to bring a couple of points up in my discussion about him. I need to probably get this on another side so I won't keep looking away. But anyway, it will be all right. Anyway, so one of the things about when I was reading Ezra was a priest because he was the son of a priest. And so, but during that time, he was in Babylonian captivity. And so he was in the Babylonian captivity. They were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And this is Judah. And I think Judah and Benjamin, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the 10, yeah, so 10 tribes that went on, they were in Assyrian captivity because they were the ones that went with, followed Jeroboam, and then they followed Rehoboam. But anyway, they were all in captivity. So they had
into the Babylonian captivity.
The Syrians never came back. I mean, the Israel nearly never came back out of captivity, but some of them did get to, you know, spread across the land, and they were there, but they had done so much intermingling with the pagan gods and things like that, so they were still in that place. So what happened was when Zerubbabel first went out, he took 50,000 of the remnant with him. He took 50,000 of them with him, and so after they finally got the temple rebuilt, because it took them some time because they had in the enemy, they had opposition, and so he allowed the opposition to halt the process. Now, God had already prepared the way. This is something about God. He had already prepared the way, because when the Persians defeated Babylon, God had already set this kingdom up, these pagan kings, to be a help to the people of God. And so I made that point last week that we don't always have to think that our help is going to come from somebody like us. Because here was Cyrus, Isaiah had prophesied some 150 years before Cyrus even took the throne. And when Cyrus, when they read that declaration and those things to Cyrus began to put in motion what was prophesied. And so then he sent, they let Zerubbabel and that wave go back in, go back. And so then here was Ezra. Ezra was a cupbearer. And one thing about Ezra, Ezra was a priest, but he didn't have a temple to do what the priests were supposed to do. And so what he did, instead of him just sitting there thinking, oh, well, I can just chill, I can do anything, Ezra began to become very astute in the Word of God. He studied the law of Moses. He studied these things. So while he was in captivity, he just didn't sit around. He was in captivity, and he began to read the Word of God. He began to study the Word of God. He began to align himself with the Word of God. So he was that type of person. Here, let me read this right here, because it's right here. I turned this up. Let's see. So he, one of the things about Ezra's life, and it says his strengths were, he was committed to study, follow, and teach God's word. That was some of his strength. He led the second group of the exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem, and he also may have been the writer of First and Second Chronicles. He wrote Ezra, and I think he wrote Nehemiah, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was a part of that person that wrote that too, as well as the 119th Psalm. So he was busy. He was doing a whole lot. And the one thing about his life was he was a person willing to know and practice God's word. And because of that, God used him mightily. Now, during this sheltering stay, because here he was in captivity, and so he took his time in captivity and began to learn the word of God and began to get closer to God. Have we taken the same opportunity? I believe most people have. But have you taken that same opportunity to get to know, draw nigh to God? Have you taken it to get in your word more? Have you taken it to develop your prayer life more and to really begin to pray and really begin to seek God in prayer? Because we have, as an intercessor, me myself, I'm an intercessor, so I know that I got to dig deeper into prayer and dig deeper. If I really want the prayers that I'm praying to be answered, then I got to keep going deeper in God and keep asking him for a fresher anointing upon my life. And so those are the things, and I'm digging deeper in the word and asking God for revelation as I read the word. Those are some of the things that I've been doing while I've been sheltering in place. So that's what, but if we really want all that God has for your life, you got to dig. I'm just telling you, you got to recommit yourself. You got to dig deeper. The other thing was is the reason why Ezra was powerful. Let me tell you, Ezra prayed a prayer. They caused him to divorce them pagan wives and leave them children. Praise the Lord, Lamont, to leave them children and everything. But anyway, let me get back to my point, because I want to make a point. One of the things that Ezra did, and I'm just going to talk, and let me read the I do have some scripture. I know y'all said she just be talking. Where's the scripture at? Where's the scripture at? So anyway, I'm going to start at the Ezra, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start at the 15th verse, and then I'm going to end up on verse number 23. So it looks like it's a lot, but it's not as much as what it looks like in here. But anyway, it says, "And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in the tent 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests, and abode we in tent 3 days. And I reviewed the people and the priests and were not found. There none of the sons of Levi. Then sent I for Eleazar and Ariel and Shemaiah and I should have got them together before I got on here. I had them, and then I forgot how to pronounce them. Elenthan, and for Jared, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Methuselah. Chief men also for Jehoram, and for Elathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Iddo, the chief of the place of Cashfry, and I told them what they should say unto Iddo and to their brethren and near and the Nephithim and the place of Cashfry, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God, and by the good hand of our Lord upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, the sons of the land of our God upon us, they brought us man of understanding, and I don't know if I can't see it today or what, and the sons of of Mahai and the sons of Levi and the sons of Israel. Oh, my God. Okay, so I'm going to skip that. Then I proclaimed a fast at the river of Ahava, and that, oh, my God, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. So what happened was when Ezra left, when Darius, I think it was Darius that was, or Xerxes was the king at that time. And so when he left, hi, Carla, praise the Lord, I pray you are doing well. And Melissa, when they left, you know, Ezra was talking, he was talking big about God. He said, oh, no, our God is going to take care of us. He's going to protect us. And so then when he got out there, they had so much substance and they had so much stuff. He was thinking, oh, my God, I can't go back to the king and ask for help because I done been bragging on God, so I got to depend on God. So what he did was he called that three-day fast, and they began to fast and pray. And God answered their prayers. He protected them, and he blessed them to get to Jerusalem safely. When he got to Jerusalem, they were doing all kind of stuff there, you know, and it wasn't all of them. Because I think it was like 29,000 people that were in Jerusalem at that time. And so it was about 113 of them, they were the priests. And so they had married the pagan women. They had given their sons to the Jebusites, the Amorites, the all of the Mites. They had gave their people to them. And so when they done that, then they caused them to kind of stray away from God again. So they repeated some of the sins of their forefathers, and that's what they had done. So when Ezra got there, he was just so discouraged that he went down in sackcloth and ashes, and he began to pray for the people, and he began to moan to God about the people. And so he had his mantle and all these things. He rent his garments and his mantle, began to pluck the hair out of his beard, pluck the hair off his head, and he just began to sit there and pray, and he was so disappointed at what he had saw. Because the people, once again, they kept allowing that these other people would pull them away from what God had told them. How many times do we allow things to pull us away from what God has told us? And I know y'all think we need encouragement. But I'm trying to encourage you today because I want us to get back into the right place with God. Because if we're in that place, we don't have to worry about a whole bunch of stuff that we're concerned about. We can be at peace because God said he'll give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. It transcends all understanding, but we got to be in that right place with him. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying nobody's living in sin. I'm not saying anything. But this is what the word that he gave me, so I'm going to go on with it. And so he told me, he said, we have got to recommit ourselves back to God. We got to get back in his way. This, you know, when it comes to the word of God, it ain't no Burger King situation. You can't apply the word to your life to fit what lifestyle you want to live. The word of God is the word of God, and we got to apply it to what God said, and then we have to align ourselves with what the word of God says so we can be in an alignment with God. The word don't align itself to us. We align ourselves to the word of God because the word of God is what we need to do. And so we can't keep thinking that we can have it our way. We can't keep thinking that, you know, well, Lord, you know, I was listening. My sister was telling me a story today when I was talking to her, and she was talking about one of the Levites was in the park doing some oral situations on a young lady. And so he said, well, this is just what I like to do. And he's a married man. He said, this is just what I like to do. See, this is what I'm saying. We cannot apply the word and live the word the way we want to live it. This is not what it is. We got to live the word according to the will of God. If that means you got to pray to God can shut that down in you, pray till he shuts it down in you. He's able. He sent Jesus to save us. We have a Savior. We have a living Savior. We don't have Muhammad. We don't have Buddha or none of them. They dead. But we got a living Savior. And if the living Savior took all of that to the cross on our behalf, and so we got to understand where our place is and how we can recommit ourselves to that. So I'm getting ahead of myself. So when Ezra came back and he saw the people in this state, he began to pray to God. And he prayed like he had committed to sin. He prayed like, you know, I'm in it with him. You know, I can identify with what's going on at this time, but I need God to move. Hey, Vicky, Viola, she's one of the poets. he began to say, he said, I need God to deliver us because we have sinned. Once again, we have sinned before God. And so I need God to deliver us. And so I began to think about Jesus when I thought about Ezra. Because Ezra hadn't committed to sin, but he put himself in there with the people. He said, no, we done messed up. We all done messed up. He didn't say, Lord, they done messed up, and I have done no wrong. He said, we done messed up. And so when I thought about Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ was, he was without sin. He was without sin. He was tempted at all points, but he was without sin. But yet he went to the cross, and he became sin for us. And so he went to the cross on our behalf. He took all the dirty, filthy stuff that we have been doing over our lives, and he took it to the cross on our behalf. He didn't go to God and say, well, God, you know, these people are cutting up. He didn't say that. He said, Lord, this is what you have purpose for me to do. I'm both God and I'm both man. And so he went to the cross, and he took all of that for us. He took the stripes for us. He took the beatings for us. He bled and died for us. He rose again for us. He did all of this. And then he said, I will not leave you comfortless because I got to go. But I won't leave you comfortless. So he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to be our guide and to be our leader. So we don't really have no excuse. We just got to align ourselves with the word of God. We want God to protect us when we go out, when we have to go out to some of these essential things. We want the protection of God to be on us. We want the protection of God and we got to go to work. Well, we need to make our commitment to God. Our temple is the body of the Holy Spirit. Our temple is the body of God. So if we're going to rededicate something, rededicate your life to him, rededicate the temple to him so that you can be what God is saying for you to be. He's got so much for us. We're going to live and declare the works of the Lord. He's got so much for us to do and so, but we got to align ourselves. If it means you got to give up sex, give it up because it ain't his will anyway if you're not married. Let's talk about that just a second. If you're not married, it's not his will. You can't say, well, this is a sin of choice I want to do. No, it is not the sin of choice you can do. He said don't be in no kind of sin. And he so told us not to do fornication. And, yeah, you might have been caught up in it at one point in time in your life. Okay, so what? But you don't mean you got to continue in sin. The Bible says that we continue in sin, that grace may abound. God forbid. We have got to align ourselves. We've got to recommit ourselves to him. He wants us to be, I'm telling you, one thing I don't want to do, like Elder Mary Connor was telling us on Tuesday, she said sometimes the reason why their lamps weren't trimmed and burning bright is because they were living and they were sinning. They wasn't keeping their lamp up. They wasn't keeping the light burning. Are you keeping your light burning? Is your lamp trimmed and burning bright? Or will you have to go try to buy some oil? You don't want to have to do that because when he shut the door, he shut the door. And they said, well, Lord, we went to go buy oil and we're back. Will you open the door for us? He said, I never knew you. I don't care what nobody say. I don't want him to say that to me. I want God to know me. And what Tasha Cobb says, he said, he knows my name. Y'all know the song. My voice is gone, so I can't do it. But anyway, we want him to know who we are. We want to be a part of the bride of Christ. We want to be the bridegroom. Come back. We want to go back with him. We don't want to be left here to deal with whatever's going to happen in that time period. We want to be ready to go back with the Lord. Recommit yourself. Recommit yourself in prayer. Recommit yourself in Bible study. Does anybody have anything on the line they want to say? Glory to God.
Yes.
Yes. Glory to God. So when I was thinking about that, we got to check on our commitment. We have been in here for 2 months, and I'm telling you, if you've been in for 2 months, and I know some of you have been going back and forth to work, you got stuff that you got things to do, you got children in the house, you've had to help them through school, you've had to help a lot of people do a lot of things, you try to keep peace in your home, but I'm telling you, you got to dive in deep, just keep diving on in deeper to the word. Get out there come out the shallow water and get over there in the deep. And dive into God's word, and let the word of God begin to bless you. Let the anointing of God come upon your life, so that you can be blessed. How much time we got? A lot of time there. I'm going real fast. And you know, I was trying my best. We've been in for 3 months. I think it was like March the 12th when they told us at work. They said, "Well, we're gonna start working from home ASAP." And so that was like March the 12th. And I was sharing with somebody the other day because I was working in Fort Worth, and I worked at the Health Science Center. So we have all kind of nationalities out there at the Health Science Center, all kind of nationalities. And we had just come back from the Christmas break, and so we were back. And that right before they told us we were going to be working from home, we had a big old festival out there. So we was all out there, praise the Lord, Sister Anderson. We were all out there at the festival. They had food, they had music, they had games, they had all these things going on. And we were all out there in close proximity with one another. People had just come back from China. People had came back from Korea. People had came back from wherever their destination was. They had just come back. And then we was going on spring break, and a lot of people had left for spring break. And some of them weren't able to come back. Now, I think they're back in the States now. But they had to be on quarantine when they came back. So we were out there among all that. But look at God. He protected. I said, Lord, thank you for your protection. Because we were out there just standing amongst everybody, just doing what we were doing. And then the next day, they said we were going to be working from home that next day because of the virus. And so these are the things I'm telling you. God has been good to us. He has protected us when we didn't even know we needed protection. And even that day, I remember going to the store, and it was people all in the store. We wasn't thinking nothing about catching no virus. We was just trying to get the essential things we needed because I said, well, let me go stop in the store because I got to be home. So at least let me have what I need at home to make it. And so I didn't even think about it. But the Lord was my protection. When I thought about that the other day, I just began to glorify God for his protection and how he kept us even when we didn't even know we needed to be kept. We didn't even have a clear thought about what was really going on. All we knew is that people over in another country were dying, and then all of a sudden it hit America. And so here we find ourselves in this pandemic and this situation going on. And so what we need, and so then they tell the church to get back, go on back to church. And I said, no, I said, Lord, I've been praying for the wisdom of our leadership, that they will have wisdom, and most of them have come back. And I know some people say, well, we don't need to have no fear. It's not that we have fear, but we are seeing the numbers keep rising. And so we're protecting, that we're being protected. Let God protect you. I think I heard Donnie McClurkin say the other day when he was talking about, he said that last plague of Egypt, when that last plague was the death angel coming through, and God told him, he said, he had them prepare the lamb, and they put the blood on the doorpost, and he told them to stay in. He said, don't go out, because if you go out, it's going to get you. And so, you know what I'm saying? So we got to be wise when we do stuff. It's not about fear. It's about wisdom. And the Bible tells us wisdom is the principal thing, and all that getting, get an understanding. And so sometimes you just got to be wise. And what we've been hearing is that more souls have been giving their life to the Lord over the internet than they were coming in the door. So if we got souls coming in, we ought to be rejoicing about that, because people are getting saved. They're giving their life to the Lord. And we don't know if they're going to stay or go, but we thank God that they gave their life to the Lord. And so we're grateful for that. So we got to be thankful for what the things that God is doing and how he is keeping us and how he's protecting us. And we that word that God is helping. So let's be thankful. Does anybody else have anything on the line they want to say? Hello? Okay. So Ezra's prayer, that prayer caused them to go to a place of confession. I mean, they came to him and said, Lord, after he prayed that prayer, they were convicted by it. And so they came and they said, well, what can we do to rebuild our relationship with God? And he told them, y'all going to have to get rid of them wives and the children. You got to get rid of all of them. And God ordained it. He allowed it to happen. So the people confessed their sins, and then they came and they wanted the relationship with God to be prepared more than they wanted to keep doing their wrong. That's what I'm saying. We got to want God more than we want to keep doing it our way. We want to want God more than we want to let His will be done and not our will. Those are the things we got to do. I was going a little fast today, so I didn't kind of went there. But anyway, so the book of Ezra opened up with God's temple. But then it ends up with us building a better relationship with God, that our temple is we want our temple to be in the right place with God. This is what God said, know ye not that your temple houses the Holy Spirit. And not only that our temple is God, that we belong to him. And so we want to be right with what God is saying for us to do. Does anybody have anything they want to say? I'm going to go on if you don't. I didn't ask it about three times, so I guess I won't ask no more. But anyway, I wanted us to just, and I don't have to stay on here the whole time, But I just wanted us to be encouraged by that today and to see how that Ezra to me was a type of Christ. He went to the people on behalf of their sins, just like Jesus went to the cross on behalf of our sins. And so and Jesus was not guilty, but we were guilty. And had we really got the punishment that we deserve, because look what he took on our behalf. But had we got the punishment we deserve, even now we thank God for his mercy. He said a new mercy he gives us every day. So we're so thankful for his mercy and for his grace, because if he would really give us the justice that we deserve, oh, my God. So we have got to make sure, and that's for you to do. You know your level of commitment. I can't tell you what that is. You can only know that, and we know how much. I'm telling the Lord, I got to do better because I need to be, you know, I keep on going to God because I want to be right. And I sure don't want to emerge out of this situation being the same. I don't know what nobody else wants to do. But when we come out of this, I want to be what God has ordained for me to be. I want to have that. Those are the things I'm looking for. I'm praying more, and I'm fasting more. You know, we got to turn the plate down sometimes. But the thing about fasting, let me say this, because I remember, you know, some people we get off in, because some people are saying, oh, I'm doing a 21-day fast, or I'm doing 3 days with nothing, or I'm doing, and all of that's wonderful. It's all wonderful, and whatever level you are at, continue to move on. But maybe you're not at that level yet. Maybe, you know, Aunt Hannah gave up a meal and came up with 7. So don't think that it got to be, you know, 40 days, 50 days, or all of this stuff. Start where you are. If you can only give up a meal right now, then give up that meal and be happy about that. Because I'm telling you, when we get into a place where we're trying to keep up with somebody else, maybe they've been fasting for, you know, they've been doing, you know, this old church used to fast every Wednesday. They would fast every Wednesday, and some of us still keep those traditions going. And so they're not traditions, but we keep those same things going. And if that's what you do, that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you got to get to that place. Don't let people make you feel like you're not there because, you know, you don't do it the way they do it. Honey, work it out. Like I said, Hannah gave up a meal at the table. They was up there cutting up with her, you know, what's her name was talking about, you know, trying to make her feel bad because she didn't have no children. She gave up that meal she got from that table, and she went to go pray. And the Lord blessed her with family. She told him, if you bless me with that child, I'll give him back to you. And she did. She kept her end of the deal. That's the thing. We got to keep our end of the bargain, end of the deal. We can't say, tell God one thing, make a vow to him, and then take it back. And so, but she kept that up. And so Samuel became one of the greatest prophets that there was. And so it was so that when he spoke, that his word never fell to the ground. That's how awesome he was. That's how in the place he was with God. And we want to be that way, too, that when we speak and when we pray, that our word won't fall to the ground, but we'll get answered prayer. And so that's what happened with Ezra. Ezra got answered prayer. When he fasted and prayed those 3 days, and he prayed for them to be protected, to pray for the little ones, to pray for the right way, God answered his prayer. And even when he had to pray for the sin, those that was committing sin, God answered his prayer. The people came to him and said, we confess our sins, and we want to be right with God. We want to be in a right relationship with God. I hope somebody is hearing me today that maybe you don't know the Lord in the pardon of your sin. Maybe you don't know who God is, and maybe you heard about him, but you don't fully know who he is. Well, this is an opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord today. He is able to deliver. He is able to deliver you today. The Bible tells us, it says over in Ephesians, it says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, but it is a gift of God. And then he tells us over in Romans, he said, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. That's how simple it is. God shall be saved. You shall be saved if you just do those things. And so today, we might have somebody out there maybe this morning when you was looking at church online, you say, I don't know if I want to give my life or not, but I'm telling you, it is worth every bit of it. I tell my family, I say, it's just so much better to know God. It's so much better to go through life knowing who he is, because he's everything to us. He's our provider. He meets our needs. He does everything. He said, even if you delight yourself also in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. He's a forgiving God. He'll forgive you. And he's such a loving God. He loves you. And so if you don't know him, This is an opportunity for you to say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I repent of my sins. Lord, come into my heart and save me. Lord, turn me away. Let your Holy Spirit turn me away from my sin, that I may begin to live according to your will. And, Lord, fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you prayed that prayer or some version of it, I believe you're saved, especially if you were sincere in your heart. I believe you are saved today. You don't have to worry. You are part of the family. You're part of the bride. And so thankful for that. Find you a good Bible-believing teaching church, someplace that will help you continue to grow on this journey with God. And I'm telling you, they will help you. They will help you. Find you a pastor that you can go to. They will help you. Hallelujah. Yes, Elder, Minister Wilson, she said the enemy brings lots of distractions. Some days we are good at resisting, and those and other days we aren't. And that's the truth. Some days we in faith, and some days we are not. I remember when I first got let go on this job, that job I was on there for 6 years, and I got let go. It was about 10 of us, they let us go. And I remember some days I was in faith, and some days I was not. Some days I was trying to be in faith, and some days I was not. But you go back and forth, you go back and forth. But over the time, God began to bless me, and God began to help me. And I just kept praying, and I kept praying. I said, Lord, let me forgive them. Let me forgive them, because I was mad about it. And I asked the Lord, because it was a journey. I mean, they were taking me through. I was over there. I said, Lord, what is going on with all this here? What is the purpose? And I kept telling, you know, I ain't got no sin. I told myself, y'all want to fire me, fire me. Why we got to go through all this foolishness? You're trying to torture me. I said, I mean, they were trying to oppress me and suppress me and all that kind of stuff. And I said, Lord, I told them, I said, if y'all want to let me go, let me go so we can move on, because they don't need us going through all this foolishness right here. You know, I ain't had no sense back here, but I tell people left. I said, ooh, Jesus has brought me a long way. And I'm telling you, he has brought me a long way. You right, Phyllis, God answers prayers. He will answer our prayers. I'm telling you, you are not left alone. If you by yourself and you at home by yourself and nobody's there, you're not alone. His presence is there with you. Just begin to call on his name. And if you're somebody, you're saying, well, you know, I've been addicted to drugs all my life. I've been addicted to alcohol all my life. And I'm trying to stay clean, but the enemy keeps speaking in my ear. When the enemy starts talking to you, just start hollering, Jesus. Just start calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe you don't know a scripture to fight him with, but Jesus' name is sufficient. Believe me. He said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. So you just got to call on Jesus. I'm telling you, that name alone is sufficient. I'm telling you, if you call on him, the devil going to back it up, because he believes and trembles. He believes and trembles. Now, he does, and so he'll back it up. I was talking to somebody about Nebuchadnezzar, you know. Anyway, I'm going to talk about deep in that. But I was talking about when Nebuchadnezzar was the Babylonian king, so he was the king that took Judah into captivity. And the one thing I'll say, he knew God. He knew who God was, but he didn't serve it. So we got to think about what's going on even in the world today. They might know who God is, but they didn't serve it. Because if we remember about Nebuchadnezzar, when he threw the three Hebrew boys into the fiery furnace, and then when he came over there, he said, didn't we throw in three? And then he said, well, yeah, but the fourth one looks like the Son of God. So he knew who God was, but he didn't serve it. And so, but then here God raised up a whole nation of Persian kings. They were pagan kings, but they blessed the people of God. They blessed the people of God. So we got to think about that as well. But anyway, I'm through. If anybody on the line got anything you want to add to it before we close it out? Okay, if not, thank each and every one of you that called in, those that logged in, and those that will listen to this broadcast later. And I'm going to ask somebody to pray on the line. Elder Dodson, did I hear you on there? Sister Dodson, did I hear you on there? Or Elder Timberlake, somebody on this line. And see if they'll pray us out. And so I'm so thankful for everybody that logged in, those that called in, those that joined me here on Facebook Live. I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of your lives, and I pray that you have a good week. And I'm going to ask somebody else to pray, so I'm going to stop talking. But also join us back here. Now, we're going to have an hour of power prayer on next Saturday. We call this an hour of power. We're going to be on here praying for an hour, and just, you know, it's right before Pentecost Sunday. And so we're going to do that around 7.
I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of your lives, and I pray that you have a good week.
She went off.
Okay. And so we're going to do that on Saturday around 7. I think we're going to do it at 6 Central Time, so it'll be 7 Eastern Time. And we're going to pray from 7 to 8 Eastern and 6 to 7 Central, and then I think it'll be 4 to 5 Pacific. So that's what we're going to be doing on Saturday. So look for us on the live. We'll be doing it just like we do right now. We're going to be praying, and then we're going to lead right on into Pentecost Sunday because that's on Sunday.
Okay.
And we're going
to do that on Saturday around 7.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to pray. Thank you for the message tonight. Elder Bryson, I was very impressed. And we do have to be committed to the Lord and committed to what we say. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We praise you. We magnify your holy name. And we know within our hearts, oh God, that you know exactly what you're doing. You are a strategic God, and you know exactly what you're doing. What we're going to do, God, is allow you to be God. Hallelujah. Whatever you want to do, God, you do it, because we know within our hearts of hearts that you will do it well. Now, God, we ask that you place your hand upon Elder Bryson, God, and every listener on this radio and every viewer. Oh, God, touch their hearts. Bring them to the place that you want them to be on, oh, God, because while you're working strategically, you are working individually. Oh, God, help us to say yes to everything that you have devised for us, because we know that it is going to bring us to what you want us to do. Oh, God, release your anointing upon us greatly, oh, God, that we might do what you have designed us to do. Because, God, all we're doing is following through with you, with what you've already designed, oh, God. And as you designed it, we're going to walk in it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Pastor Doctor. Thank you so much. And we're done, so we'll see you back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast. God bless each and every one of you.